Come on now. It's not just one more Sunday, is it? Is it something special about the celebration in terms of what it is and what it's about? Amen?
Amen.
Let's act like it's a celebration today. Can we celebrate it's Sunrise Sunday? Y'all need coaching? Is it early? 1 second. Minister Bennett,
yes, sir.
They need coaching.
Is there anybody in the room this morning that just wants to give God a little praise? Is there anybody here that's just happy that the Lord woke you up this morning, clothed and in your right mind? Is there anybody just want to shout hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all that you've done for me. And it's not because I've been so good. It's not because I've been so worthy. It's only because of his grace and his mercy. He showered down upon us a few blessings. So if you don't take another chance this week, you need to rise up and tell my Lord and Savior, thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah.
All right. All right. God bless. Amen. Amen. We want to say good morning again to each and every one of you. We're grateful for our fellowship and celebration today with First Timothy. And we thank everyone that's here. Dr. Tyler, got to point you out. Yes, sir. It's always a blessing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Minister Faulkner, God bless you. Sister Diane, God bless you. Good seeing you all. And minds are in the house. God bless you. And we're grateful to each and everybody that's here on this morning. And so we're going to ask Mount Hebron to come forward first. And it's my understanding First Timothy is going to sing after Mount Hebron. And then we're going to move into the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So those who are choired in Mount Hebron AFC, come on up and give us a selection. And then First Timothy is going to follow that up and I'm going to just go ahead and introduce the speaker right now and get that done so that Pastor Brian will be able to come on up after his choir finish and preach this morning's word. Amen. You all know him. We son of this place, right? Mount Hebron. You were born and raised and all that. Yeah. I just want to verify that. Yes. And so you all know him, and so we're grateful and thankful for First Timothy being with us. And so after his choir finish, you'll be getting the word from none other than Pastor Leverett Bryant.
Amen. Amen. I hope you all can, or you can hear me now. Good morning. Happy Easter to all of you. We are greatly delighted to be here on this Sunday morning. God has indeed been good to us. Amen. I know when my mom's in the house, I'll always have something to wipe my face. It so happened on Friday night, I was preaching on the south side, and all of a sudden, this usher walks up with a towel, and I looked for the inscription of 1 Timothy on the towel and couldn't identify whether or not the church gave me the towel, but it was a familiar gesture, only to get up to find that my mother was in the crowd, as she always is, to give me a towel. So happy Easter to all of you all. Aren't y'all happy this morning? You don't want to be any other place but in church this early in the morning. You don't want nobody to get started on our day this early other than us who practice the performance of Christendom. And so here we are this morning to give praise and honor to God and to lift up a word. I want to say thank you to my First Timothy family. Thank you so much for traveling over here to the west side with me. They've been hanging out with me all weekend. And so thank you for coming out on Friday and early this Sunday morning. We just got one more service and y'all can go home and rest. Amen. To Pastor Keith, thank you so much. We do appreciate this fellowship to come back home where it all began for me, standing right down there giving my Easter speech. And here I am again up here just to give another Easter speech. To our pastor emeritus, Dr. Clifford Tyler, who's always there with his wisdom. Good to see you out this morning. To our own minister, Faulkner, I know she is prepared indeed to give her Sunday school lesson on this morning. To Reverend Watson and Reverend Diane Simpson and Reverend Bennett, good morning to you all. Y'all missing one. All right. We'll talk about him later. Amen. And to all my father's children, it is good for us to be here on this morning. I got a quick message that I just want to lift up to you. I've been toiling over a bunch of different texts. Listen, my wife sends her love. She's home. She's grieving. I'm sure you probably all heard the message now. My mother-in-law, her grandmother passed away. Her grandmother raised her, and she's dear to her heart. And so continue to pray that we get through even this. Amen. So there is a word from the Lord, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Thank you, Keith, Russell. Appreciate you guys this morning living us up. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to begin reading at verse 3. In John chapter 20, John chapter 20, we're going to begin reading at verse 3. I'm going to read from the Message translation. John chapter 3, I'm sorry, thank you. Y'all listening, amen. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 3. The message translation says this: Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief used to cover his head, not lined with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. When the other disciple who had gotten there first went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples went back home. I like that part where it says the other disciples, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence and believed. Amen. So this morning we're going to preach for just a few moments when the evidence is overwhelming. When the evidence is overwhelming. Let's pray. God, we thank you for how good you have been to us. Indeed, God, we recognize that because you woke us up this morning. God, we're grateful this morning and what it represents and means to us. And so, God, as we look around all throughout this day, we pray, Father, that we may see your presence in all that we say and do as we celebrate that sacrifice that was made. We do understand, oh God, that the sacrifice was made, but here we are early on a Sunday morning thanking you for getting back up, thanking you for taking our sins, thanking you for making a way for us to get into heaven. So, God, as we come before you today, we pray, God, that you would give me preaching power. Hide me behind the cross. God, I have nothing to do with this. This is all about you. So permit me the promise to teach and preach your word. We thank you, Father. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. When the evidence is overwhelming. If any of you all are like me, I am a political guru. I wake up in the morning watching CNN, and I go to bed watching CNN or MSNBC. And so for those of us who are political gurus, you know that this week is the week that we have been waiting for. This is the week that we have sat on the edge of our couches waiting for. For 22 months, we have been hearing about the investigation, the Mueller investigation, the special counsel Robert Mueller investigation of y'all president and all of the acts that he had done leading up to his election in 2016. We all heard the reports. We all seen what has happened over the past 22 months with this crooked, xenophobic, egomaniac, egotistical, maniacal fool that's in the White House. We've all seen the reports and all the crazy things that he has done. And so for the Mueller report to drop to let us know what happened on the back end, what happened in private conversation, we were all waiting bated breath just to see what was going to be in the report. And so sadly to hear that our new Attorney General Barr gets on Capitol Hill and testifies and lets us know that there's really nothing to see here. He says that not only once but twice in his four-page memo that he sends to Congress and says there's really nothing to see here. Robert Mueller exonerates y'all president. There is no collusion and there is no evidence to exonerate, nor there is any evidence to go and charge him with the crime. So there's really nothing to see here. And if y'all like me, I'm just like everybody else and all the Democrats in Congress that says, I don't want your word for it. I need to see it for myself. I want to see what's in the report. We already know what you got to say. You wrote an 18-page memo as a job interview to get the job as Attorney General. And so we already know that your mind, your vision, your perspective is flawed because you have an appointment by a president that you are trying to serve. We don't want to hear what you got to say, Attorney General Barr. Give us the report. And so that's what happened, y'all, on this week. The report came out, and you know what, y'all, Attorney General, he tried to get up there one more again and get up there and try to dissuade us and throw us off to let us know that there was really something in the report. And so he got up there full of lies, and so consequently, right after that, the Mueller report comes out, and they begin to read it. They was chopping it up, y'all. I'm listening to it as I'm working and hearing bits and pieces of it coming through on my earphones and just listening to the crazy and maniacal evangelical stuff that y'all president has done. And it's so crazy to me as they begin to read and read what the report says. The report simply says, as Attorney General Barr tried to take it out of context to say that y'all president was exonerated. No, that's not what the report stated, because when you come to the report and see it for yourself, you can see that the evidence is clear and the evidence is overwhelming that he has indeed done something bad. Is that not the case with us in our Christian walk? That every now and then in our Christian walk, we hear what other folks got to say about our God. We hear what other folks got to say about Easter Sunday morning. But if you're really truly honest with your walk in Christ, you got to get up early Sunday morning and say, I don't care what you got to say. I don't care what mama got to say. I know what I heard on the radio, but I'm getting up early on a Sunday morning, putting on my Easter's best, because I want to get into church and see the evidence for myself. And I understand where some of y'all are at right now, because some of y'all are still struggling. And I get that, because you're still trying to see the evidence. You're like some of the Democrats, Jerry Nadler, who is the committee chairman of the Judiciary Committee, who suggests, I need the report, but I want the unredacted version of the report. And so that's where some of y'all are at right now. You said to yourself, I've seen enough already. Those of us who come to church and know who God is and what God does, we can shout on moment's notice. We don't need a whole lot, and we can get up and get in church and shout all day long. But there's a few of you all, I do understand, and I get that. You're like Jerry Nadler. You said, you know what? I've seen it. I heard it. I just need a little bit more. And you're trying to get God to unredact some things in your life, the things that have been blacked out in your life, wondering, what is the doctor really going to say about this? Wondering, how is your bills going to get paid with this little bitty paycheck? You're trying to get the unredacted report on your life when your children are walking outside the bounds of what you taught them. You're trying to get the unredacted report and the reversion of what God has to say about the situation. And I just stopped by this morning to let you know and remind you that the evidence is completely overwhelming about just how much God has done for us, just how good God has been to us. I just came to let you know that the evidence is completely overwhelming. As I look around the room, none of y'all looked underneath the pew to see if it was going to hold you up this morning. You just came in and had faith to sit down, and that's evidence enough to know that you have faith in the God, not the pew. I can look around the room and see some of y'all got on some new duds. Some of y'all got new fresh hairstyles, and you were wondering last week, how are you going to make this happen for yourself and your children? And here you are today. You're looking good, fine. And I'm going to say that real quick. Y'all looking good this morning, and that's the evidence that God has been good to you. The evidence, y'all, this morning is overwhelming that God has indeed been good to us. And is that not what's going on in our text here in John chapter 20? I love how John writes his gospel. John writes his gospel with an inclusion theory of thinking, because John likes to get into people's thoughts. John likes to try to interpret the situation around them from his perspective. We're going to get into that later on. But if you see here, as they get to the tomb, they just needed the evidence, because the evidence is indeed overwhelming. And once the evidence is overwhelming, it forces you to do nothing but believe that there is a God. Can I give y'all 3 points so we can have breakfast this morning? When the evidence is overwhelming, the testimony ought to trigger that you can move in faith, even though there's tragedy around you. Let me say that again. When the evidence is overwhelming, the testimony ought to trigger a move in faith, even though there is tragedy around you. Here in our text, they get word that Jesus Christ has risen. Can't you see the disciples? They're somewhere grieving because they've seen their loving Savior, the cinnamon complexion skin Savior who was crucified. No, let me put it into perspective in good terms that you would understand. Our Savior was lynched, and he stood there and he hung there on the cross for your sins and mine. The most
unbearable death that anyone can endure for that time. And they witnessed that. They heard about that. And so wherever they are right now, they are now in a panic. They are grieving and they are scared. And so in the midst of them is tragedy. And so in tragedy, they get good news from the women who had enough nerve and enough sense to go to the tomb to go check things out. And that's what I'm glad right here, because we got to be honest with ourselves. In ministry these days, it's not trending towards the education of men in ministry. It's trending toward the education of black women in ministry. And so our black women have equipped themselves to go to the tomb. They have equipped themselves today to go to school and come back and give you the unadulterated gospel to let you know what truly thus saith the Lord. And so the disciples, they get word from Mary and Martha that Jesus Christ is not there. Can't you see them in all their excitement yet worry to find out what has happened? What is really going on? I can imagine that their emotions was all over the place, grieving because there's tragedy surrounding them, and they have found themselves cornered. And when you find yourself cornered by all your tragedies, there's nothing left to do but to come out swinging. Is there anybody in here has found themselves being in a corner, trapped by your tragedies, trapped by your situation, and you trying to figure out how you gonna get out? Can I give y'all some news real quick? See, I'm born and raised on the west side, and so every now and then when I come over here, it's nostalgic for me. You know, I start remembering and reflecting on some things. I remember certain parks that I played ball at. I remember certain parks where I had failed and hurt myself. I remember certain things about the west side, and so the west side always triggers nostalgia for me. And so I remember growing up, see, back in the day, we had Atari 2600, not the games that these people, the kids are playing now. We had Atari 2600, and I remember that when we got the Atari 2600, my brother played that game all night long, and there was really only one game that we could play. Y'all know what that game was? That game was Pac-Man. We played Pac-Man all day long, and y'all know how Pac-Man goes. Pac-Man is running around eating up all these pellets, and he is trying to outrun and maneuver himself around all these ghosts. And because if he runs into a ghost, it's fatal for him, it's tragedy. And so what I learned from my brother who played the game all day long is you eat as many pellets as you can, and then you would go and hide out in the corners of the game. And in the corners of the game were these so-called power pellets. And these power pellets, when you hung out in the corner of the Pac-Man game, the ghost would chase you, and the ghost would think that it had you cornered. And when the ghost would come and approach you while you were in the corner, you would eat that power pellet, and then you would go and start chasing after the ghost, because the moment you ate that power pellet, that's when the ghost started running away from you. And that's how it is in our Christian walk, that every now and then we get cornered. But if you pick up your Bible and just read a word of God, that's your power pellet. And every time you eat your power pellet, the ghosts begin to run. And so that's what the disciples got, y'all. They got a word from the women who went to the tomb. They came and gave them a power pellet and said, I understand that you're sitting in tragedy right now, but here's some good news. He is risen. He is not there. And that's what triggers them to go and operate in faith. And so when the evidence is overwhelming, the testimony are to trigger you to move in faith and act on faith. Number two, when the evidence is overwhelming, you got to stop pretending and start participating. Ooh, I need to say that again. When the evidence is overwhelming, you need to stop pretending and start participating. Can I just step on some toes real quick? If you want to take off your good shoes, that's all right to do right here. Because if you see the text right here, I already told you that John writes it with his own inclusive thinking. John writes with his own self in mind. And so when you read the beginning of this chapter, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus never told them that. That's just his assumption. I assume that I'm the one that he loved. And so me and Peter, on our way to the tomb, I get there first. I outrun them. John gets there first. He's younger. He's more vibrant. He gets there before Peter. But look what the text say, y'all. He got there, and all he did was stoop down and look in. That's all he did, y'all. He ran to the tomb, and all he did was stoop down and look in. Now, he did get a glimpse of what was going on inside. It said that he saw the linen cloths, but then also it comes up right behind him, Peter coming in out of breath, running up behind him, and Peter gets there, and the text says that Peter not only looks in, but Peter goes in. And so that's what I'm talking about, y'all. Here it is. He has wrote to himself and made himself look good at the beginning of the chapter. But I need to throw a little shade on John. You made it all the way to the tomb, and yet and still you didn't go in, brother man. Please stop pretending and be like Peter and participate. Peter got to the tomb. He looked in and said, no, I need a little bit more evidence. I'm going all the way in. And so that's what happens to us sometimes on Sunday morning. Some people get up and they'll turn on the TV and they'll just look in. But then there's a few of us who will get up and actually put on some clothes and some shoes and say, I don't care how I get there. I don't care what I'm wearing, but I'm going all the way in. I'm not going to just stand right here and look in and observe what's going on. I'm going all the way in. We got to stop pretending and start participating. Can I make that plain for y'all? See, in this new age, what we do nowadays is, if you don't do Grubhub, you can go and online and you can order your food. But what they're doing now is they have become more skillful about it, because they don't want you ordering food and not showing up. So in order for you to order food online, you got to pay for it online, right? And so this is what I did, y'all. I ordered some food online. I went to the restaurant after I had paid for it. And so I get to the restaurant and I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And then it dawns on me that I did not go to the counter to let them know that I was there. And so when I got there, I told them, I says, listen here, I've been waiting and I've been waiting, and y'all have not called my number or my name. And they says, well, what is your number? What is your name? And I gave them my information, and they says, well, here it is. In order for you to get your order, you got to not just show up. You got to come in and let us know that you made it here. And that's all I want to let y'all know, is that you get to church on Sunday morning, don't just show up. Would you just let God know that you made it here? Won't you let God know that, I'm here, God, this morning. I didn't just come to look in. I came here to participate. I didn't come to just pretend, God. I came in to participate. Can I push it, y'all? And so this is what happens as I'm sitting there waiting on my food. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting. It does not take long, because once I've given them my name to let them know that I'm there, the moment that I sit back down and try to get myself comfortable, the wait wasn't long. And when they called my name, this is what I got to do. I got to jump up and let them know that I'm still here. And see, some of you all, you've been showing up for church. You've been praying to God, and God knows you are here. And so when God blessed you before, you got to let God know, you know what, God, here I am. I remember that you blessed me. Here I am, God. I remember that you brought me out. Here I am, God. I remember that you delivered me before. Because when you make a noise in the place, God knows that you are there. When the evidence is overwhelming, the testimony ought to trigger your faith walk. When the evidence is overwhelming, it ought to let you know that you not need to pretend, you need to participate. And I'm almost done. Lastly, when the evidence is overwhelming, the evidence proves that there is indeed a cover-up.
All right.
So y'all saw what the Mueller report said, that all throughout the report, all y'all president tried to do was cover his tracks. He just wanted folks to lie for him. He needed cover. And so
here in our text, there is evidence that there is a cover-up, not in the sense that he was covering up a crime he did himself, but God has sent his son, and he had provided evidence for us in the text that there is a cover-up for your sins. Can I teach Bible real quick? See, here in the text, y'all see what's going on. Peter, John gets there to the tomb. They look in. Peter goes in, and he describes to us what's inside. And I like this because what's inside matters to us as far as the evidence in order for us to understand that indeed there is a cover-up. Can I show y'all real quick in the text? Peter goes in and he sees the linen cloths. The text clearly says that the linen cloths are there, and they don't say that they are in any particular manner. They are just lying there. And then the text also goes on to let us know that there is the handkerchief that was wrapped around his face. It was separate from the linen cloths. Now, the handkerchief was nice and neatly folded and laid right there where Jesus was. Now, you got to ask yourself, when you see all these particular details in text, if you take the moment to interrogate text, you will understand that there is significance, that in the Bible, there is a great use and economy of words, that words are not wasted in the Bible. So you got to really pull the layers back to understand exactly what's going on here. And if you understand the hermeneutic of what John is trying to push for us, he had already wrote in chapter 19 in the seven sayings on the cross, it is finished. And so what John writes in it is finished, he has to let us know that, oh, now I got some corrections to make, because no, indeed, Jesus is not finished. And he shows us in the handkerchief. Can I keep teaching here? See, in Jewish culture, you have to understand that when they sit at the table to eat, whenever they're done eating, they wipe their face and they ball up the napkin and they drop it on the table. When the napkin is balled up, those who are serving can see that the napkin is balled up, and there's no need to serve because the balled up napkin signifies that he's finished. But when the napkin is folded up and laid on the table, those who are around have good enough sense to know that he is not finished yet, that he is still eating. And so when he gets to the tomb here and he finds the linen cloths over there and he finds that the handkerchief is nice and neatly folded, what he's suggesting to you is that he's not done yet. And that's the good news here. And that's the good news for all of us, because the napkin signifies that he wasn't done yet. In fact, he wasn't done because the cover-up needed to happen on our behalf. You know what? We done messed up time and time again. And so I'm so glad that he folded up the napkin, because if he had balled up the napkin, it would have signified the fact that he was done with us and that he had gone on to be in glory. But the folded napkin said, no, I need to cover up some sins, because I know Pastor Brian is going to mess up in 1994. I know that y'all going to mess up in the years of your life. And so I need to fold up this napkin, because I got to go in and cover up some sins and save the world, save humanity, and build a bridge from heaven to earth so that you can get into heaven. And so the evidence is overwhelming. And there indeed is a cover up of all of our sins. Glory be to God. Glory be to God that the napkin was not crumpled. Glory be to God that he folded it up, because it said that he was not finished. Amen. Let us stand to our feet. Stand to your feet. There may be someone here today. You got up early on this Sunday morning and you said, on this Easter Sunday, I'm going to turn my life around. It's going to be a perfect day to do that. The weather's going to be beautiful. You dressed all nice and neat. There's no greater day than to give your life over to Christ than to do it on an Easter Sunday. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus for yourself, that's my request. I want to push you just a little bit to just come on and give your life to Christ. There's no better place to be than under the grace and the majesty of our Lord and Savior. He died for you and he died for me. Won't you come, exchange your will in for his? The Bible tells us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If you're that person and you're here today, we invite you to come right now. Won't you come? Won't you come right now? There may be someone here and you're here today and you just need a church home. If you're that person, you want to come and make Mount Hebron your church home, we invite you to come as well. Won't you come today? Amen. Seeing none.
Let the church say amen. Let's say amen again. It goes without saying, we heard the word this morning, right? Hello? Hello? Y'all. I can bring Bennett back now. Y'all heard the word, amen? Oh, please, when the evidence is overwhelming. We are grateful and thankful to God for the preach word this morning and for First Timothy coming in fellowshipping with us. And we truly appreciate what's happening and how it's happening. Now, we're going to go downstairs and have breakfast, but I'm going to ask Dr. Tyler to have a few words and then bless the food. And then we'll be dismissed to the rest of the services going on here at Mount Hebron and at First Timothy. God bless you, Dr. Tyler. Comments and bless the food.
God bless your hearts. Truly, God is great. It's a marvelous thing, good to come to the tomb and to come in, but you have to give something, and that's to give your life over to Christ. That's what gives you joy and happiness. If you surrender to him, and truly he'll walk with you, you never have to worry about holding on to God's unchanging hand. God will hold your hand. That's what makes the difference. I might turn loose, but God won't turn it loose. So God bless you, Mount Hebron and First Timothy. Let us bow our heads and pray. Eternal God, we thank you so much that you've been so kind to feed our souls now. We prepare to go and to nurse this old body. We thank you so much for the food that has been prepared for us and those who have worked so diligently in doing so. Bless this food, that it may nourish the body well to your glory, all in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and for his sake, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Okay, we're dismissed. Go downstairs and partake of some physical food after.